I'm Marco Werman with The World. I'm sure you remember the Chilean miners, Los 33, they call them in Latin America, the 33. It's been 5 years since those 33 miners emerged after being trapped underground for 69 days. It's an epic tale, and no surprise, the story of their rescue has been made into a movie that's due out this fall, starring Antonio Banderas. It's based on a book by Los Angeles author Hector Tobar. The miners chose him to tell their story, and that's what he did with Deep Down Dark, the untold stories of 33 men buried in a Chilean mine and the miracle that set them free.
They were working 2,000 feet underground when they were trapped by this massive earthquake underground that sealed off their only exit, and they endured 69 days buried in these caverns about the width of a truck with 98% humidity and 90 degrees temperature, very often in the dark. And for the first 17 days, they were slowly starving because they had no food supplies.
Yeah, they ended up by rationing bites of food between the group of them. Extreme hunger can induce hallucinations, and some of them, I gather, had dreams that were even related to starvation. What did they see in their dreams?
Yeah, you know, they started telling me these dreams that they had very vivid and lucid dreams. And at first I thought, can this be a coincidence? And I did some research and found that if you fast for more than a week, you start to have very lucid dreams. In their dreams, they would travel to the surface. They would speak with their relatives. One imagined that his daughter was trying to rescue him by operating one of the drills. One of them dreamt that his grandparents, who had been dead for many years, brought him food. You know, it was this amazing window into their subconscious.
Yeah, I guess none of that is really surprising when you're in those kind of dire straits. So 33 miners, 33 also happens to be the age of Jesus Christ when he was killed, and the miners seem to see major significance in 33. What did religion do to keep them going?
They prayed every day. After the first night, they had a meeting in which they agreed they would ration the little food that they had. It was Mario Sepulveda, who, by the way, is going to be played by Antonio Banderas in the movie, who first called them to prayer. And down there was an evangelical pastor, and they asked him to lead them in prayer. And he remembered parables from the Bible, and he would give sermons. And at the end of each prayer session, they would apologize to each other for their transgressions, for being mean to each other underground, for not sharing in the work they had to do underground.
Wow. When you speak with them today, how much do they attribute their survival to just that kind of, whatever you want to call it, let's just say positive thinking?
I think it was more than anything the desire to return to their families. Faith was something that reminded them of the best thing in their lives, which was the love in their lives. They wanted to get back to those homes, to the people who love them. And it was that desire to keep on being providers and not abandoned their loved ones that really kept them going.
So they went from being trapped inside a mine to just days later after their release, appearing on The Late Show with David Letterman and The Today Show, world celebrities. What was that like for them?
Well, you know, they knew that they were celebrities even when they were trapped because after the 17th day, when the Chilean government drilled through and reached them with this first small drill hole, they eventually lowered down a fiber optic cable line. And so the men had television down below and they received newspapers. And for the 52 days from when they were found to when they were finally pulled out in that famous capsule, they knew that they were the most famous miners on Earth. They knew that fame and glory awaited them when they reached the outside. So it even began when they were underground, and it actually caused some divisions in the group while they were still trapped.
So they were celebrities for a while. It's 5 years later. How are they doing now? Are they still heroes in Chile?
Well, you know, I think that Mario Sepulveda put it best when I was recently with him, did some interviews ahead of the movie's release in Latin America, and they asked him what he hoped the book and the movie would give the miners, and he said, well, we hope that it gives us our dignity back in the eyes of the Chilean people, because in Chile, I think they've become objects of scorn. They've
Why?
Become seen as – because people believe that they were pampered afterwards. You know, they never really spoke publicly about their ordeal. They didn't speak about what it was like to go hungry. They didn't speak about the way the mountain tortured them. So people didn't really realize how much they had suffered and how much they were having post-traumatic stress. So they became – people thought that they were rich, that they were just these ordinary guys who were living the high life. And so Mario and many of the other miners hope that that the book and the film will let people know exactly what they suffered.
So psychologically, how would you assess the miners today? I mean, there's the trauma of just thinking back of all those days, of 69 days that you might die. There's that. Then there's this kind of shot to fame and celebrity, and then kind of the drop afterwards, so many things.
Well, yeah, I think that even when I first interviewed them, which was a few months after the rescue, it was very noticeable to me that many of the men were suffering from intense trauma. The mountain had, in effect, tortured them. It was constantly exploding even after this initial collapse, which almost killed a couple of the miners. It was something that was always producing this thunder in the background. There was always the danger of another collapse, the fear of another collapse. So they had lived this torment. Many of them were fine for the first couple of years and then had their trauma later. I think that probably all of them at one point or another have had their moments of emotional distress. Most of them, after a couple of years, went back to work. They found that the money they had received for the book and the film really wasn't enough to live on for more than a year or so. And most of them now are working in fields related to mining. A few have actually gone back underground, which to me is absolutely unbelievable. One miner was recently working underground, but had to stop because it was just too traumatic for him. It was causing him to have flashbacks.
Yeah, those who have gone back into the mine and are working there, what do they say about why they are there?
Well, first of all, because of necessity, it's the job that pays them the most for the skills that they have. It's a job that affords them something like a middle-class life. Most of them own homes, and some of them have kids in college, and they have cars and things to pay for. And so working in a mine and risking your life and getting the corresponding pay, it gives them the kind of life that they want to have. Now, going into the underground, too, is sort of a kind of a challenge, you know. It's like facing up to your fears, and it gives you kind of a sense of your manhood, you know. And so a lot of them really, when they first went back underground, felt, oh, this is where I belong. Now, only a few have done that, and most have found after a while that it really is returning to a kind of torment and have decided not to work underground.
Yeah, it's a hell of a way to test your manhood. I'm just wondering, you know, the basic question, has the story of Los 33 done anything to improve mining safety in Chile?
Well, right away. Actually, just even before they were rescued, the top three officials in the Chilean government agency that oversees medium-sized mines were fired. And there was a house cleaning in that organization. I think there's always been laws in the books in Chile that have provided for the safety of men working in these kinds of mines. I think the difference now is that they are enforced with more vigor.
What did these 33 miners teach you about, well, you're not a miner, but teach you about life?
You know, I realized maybe about a year into this project that this was really a love story, that this was a story about men who wanted to go home. They wanted to be with their families. It was the best thing about them. When they were trapped and they were facing death, they didn't think about how much money they had, how many houses they owned, how many cars they owned. They thought about the people who loved them. So I realized that I think that all of us have that inside of us, that we realize that the best thing about our lives are the people who love us. In the end, that's really the only thing that matters. And the 33 miners and their experience really taught me to see that and value that in my own life.
Hector Tobar, author of Deep Down Dark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is The World.